There's a classic Achron on Nida, the only one that really is cited in many places, is Chochmas Bezalel. And some sugyas he's a lifesaver. It pays to take a look at him. I'll try every now and then to expose you to him. I see you have an aged edition, but I have a new one also. I wasn't aware that this one was in my office all this time. So I bought another one. I haven't seen it for many years. Okay. Petershoff, one thing we didn't do yet. Everybody here has what I handed out, with some sofa and the run, and then that they give out that medical thing also?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come on to that soon, but first, you have to review the Ran for Agamara. We'll take Agamara first. Which one didn't you get? The medical?
Both.
All of it. I have it. This medical. I just clipped them all together.
Yeah, I don't know how long does it take to learn how to use the NC?
I determined that the technology used to build this edifice is actually Mr. Potato Head technology.
Budweiser. Twist the ears, of course.
If that's
what
you're going
for or not. No. But it's good. It is good. The Ran and the Gemara we're up to is necessary for understanding the Gemara we just finished. We'll go back to the Après Samba days. Turn the Rabbanon, five lines from the bottom. Muberes is Dayan Shato. Question is, as we termed it, was she Muberes? She was pregnant, but she wasn't Muberes. Muberes is a halachic definition of pregnancy. Biologically, physiologically, she was pregnant. And it turned out that she was not a Muberes, because Muberes is only if she gives birth to a child. It doesn't mean a live birth, though. When it said Dovo Shein Shal Kayoma, she gave a Dovo Shein Shal Kayoma, I think the emphasis is on Dovo. Otherwise, they would say she gave birth to a dead blood. It wouldn't refer to as a Dovo, refer to a blood chain of Shabbat Kayoma. Dovo Shein Shal Kayoma. Harei Becheskoso Vedaya Shaita. Chain. We were pregnant. Why? Kemo yalad meluach. So you see that the pasuk refers to it as an act of ibur, like horinu. And even though the end result was yalad meluach. It points out that, of course, was not a literal statement. It was a literary comment or poetic comment. It's not a raya because it's referring to Am Yisrael, doesn't refer to a pregnant woman. The imagery presented is that of a pregnant woman, but obviously it was not referring to a physiological pregnancy. Aminu, so we ask the kasha. If she was in labor, kasha so shnayim ashrush shnayim ulishlishi yipil ruach, she was in labor 2 days. On the third day, it turned out that it was not a vlad.
3 days of labor.
She's treated like a zova, because the fact that she did not give birth proves that she was not a muberes. And not a muberes, so she's not a what? Dam?
Dam
lit. Dam leda.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Dam leda.
It was not dam kosher. Dam. The dam kushi. The dam of labor is exempt from hilchos zavo. Since she saw dam 3 days, and those 3 days didn't end up with a blood, that proves that it was not a blood. It was not a muberes. Not a muberes. There's no dam koshi, nando kushi. Therefore, she's a zavo. If, however, you say that he pilu ruach, you didn't asr hama es liyes, because you consider that as she was muberes, then kushi samach leleda manatare. Then it's the kushi before leda, meaning there was no gap in the leda. She saw for 3 days, 3 consecutive days. If there would be a gap in the leda, we had a sofso bentayim, look at Rashi. She lost sofso bentayim. She didn't stop in between. V'dam hakushi avladhu, right? V'dam hakushi machmas avladhu bo. That shows that it was part of that was dam leda. If it was dam leda, why did you say she is what? Your leda's bezov. Why do you treat her like a zova? And she shivin ikiyim. So there were two tulitzim given. Amar Apopi Hanach Meis Leis the Rabbanon. Simple shot would mean, okay, you're right. Maybe we should not allow her that allowance of an Isha Muberes, that she shouldn't be Metame Meis Leis. Really, she should be betamei leis. Right? Why? Because if she appeal a ruach, it was not muberes. Not muberes, she's not from the Dalad Noshim. Not from Dalad Noshim, then she's betamei meis leis. Ella, what then? We overlooked this one. It's okay, so we missed this one. It's only a derabbanon, it's no big deal. Papa Amar Midahu Taima Ella Mishim Derosha Kovet Olea Vaver Kveden Olea. Why is she Mesulekes Midamin? Because she experiences this sensation of Vaver Kveden Olea. Hachanami, in the case of Pili Ruach, Rosha Vaver Kveden Olea. Okay, look at the Rashi. It'll remind you of the Ran, which is the pshat we'll be using now for the next one. Amar Rapopi. In, yes. Vadai the lav leidehi. Aval leinian dayashata choshev rak. For that the Rabbon of dayashata, we consider as if she were pregnant. Why? Because Ma'esa Ace is only the Rabbonon. Remember the Ritva I told you about? It has a nice pshat. It's a kind of a Markor Bezni Yofid pshat. The case is talking about she came to ask a shayla. She saw it down. He said to her, you're Muberet. What are you worried about? Muberet, you only tell me Mikano Lahabor. Don't worry about what you handled Taharos yesterday. Meisleis, it doesn't impact upon you. The Takonis Rabbonon was only on a Muberes, right? It was only on one who was not a Muberes, and you are Muberes. What are you worried about? The following day, she gives birth to Ruach. Nothing good comes out. He says, what do you want us to do now? Announce you are not Muberes, and therefore you were Matama Meisleis. And you're dealing with the Rabbonon. All you're doing is introducing confusion in halacha. We paskin already that the taharos are okay. You want us now to go and change? Before you know, these taharos someone ate already. They brought them to the Beis Hamikdash. Right? You're starting a whole ball of wax. You're unraveling something. Right? That's why we don't do it. Yeah, you have a svara. What does that mean? The state of confusion is a negative also. Rabbanon come to enforce halacha. If by enforcing halacha, all they do is get a wise guy to say, the rabbi must have got paid off or something. Yesterday was good, now it's all good. What kind of business? It is the same, I think it's the same thing as what the Gemara used the expression, Im kein makor bezni yofe. If a psak of the court doesn't hold, right, it impacts upon the fundamental respect that you have for din. And therefore, since you're dealing only with the Rabbanon, which means Minatova, it's the Taka Toho. Minatova, she shouldn't be Metame Meisleis, but Minatova, we should go with a Cheskas Tahara. Therefore, I weigh, right, one value against the other, and we decided not to change the Pesach. That's the Ritva's approach. The Ran, which I hand out to you, right, the way I interpret Pshat in the Ran, the time of the Muberes Daya Shaita, Lesser Ele Mishum the Machmas Masa Ho Ubo Rosh Avei Kredim Aleha. Umri Kvedim Hi, right, Bing Umbe Kovdo Hi Musulekes Bedomim. The whole Shelo Hukar Ein Rosh Avei Kovedo Aleha. My papa came to say it's not just a defense of the dignity of the court. Because we paskin toho, we don't want to now go ahead and be mitami. But there's a real good reason for it. So the Ran gives a physiological reason too. I underlined it too? Yeah, it's underlined there. Mipnei she'u bo godol kol kach she'moshech adom li'atzmo. Li'zehim u'slekes midomim. Therefore, I אף על פי שעדיין לא הוכר, כבר נגמר גדולו שלו בעולם הזה, ולא מטעמי.
What does it say? The reason she's, I give you a reason why, even though she didn't give birth to a Vlad, but the physiological effects are there, even though she didn't give birth to a Vlad. Because we look at whether Rosho Kobe Dolel, and here in this case, Rosho was Kobe Dolel. She felt she was pregnant. That, whatever that feeling is, that's what Moshe, that's what takes away the blood from her. Ran insists on a legalism, but a physiological fact. That leads to the second question in the Gemara. Therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyahu asks, if that's the case, something happened before whatever the final outcome was, whatever it was, something had happened before. You tried to tell me that there is a physiological basis for why she was not Ro Adam, because Rosha Kovei Dolel. Then it should follow that if she saw dam, and the following morning, hukar ubro, what that means in a minute, we have to explain a little bit better. Then likewise, she should be mesolekes midamim. She shouldn't be metamed meis leis. Because you tell me that things happen even though there is no vlad. Something happens before to take away the blood. So therefore, in the case where Roso Biachakach Yoldo, whatever she was Yoldo, whatever happened the day before. Therefore it should follow that if Roso Biachakach Huka Rubro, also she shouldn't be metame, meis leis. People follow it. The tenets is based upon the fact that something happens before the actual birth. Yeah, look what Papa said. It's only Mishum the Osha Kovid Aleh, Baben Kvedin Aleh. So with a Hoyer Shel Ruach, also Osha Baben Kvedin Aleh. Therefore comes Rabbi Yirmiyahu and says, when did this Osha Kveid Oleh begin? So the Ran explains the reason for this question is because the act of giving birth, whether it was Ruach or not, is irrelevant. I want to know what happened yesterday when she saw Dam. So you tell me when she saw Dam, Rav Papa says it was Rosh HaKaveda Oleho, which means the day before giving birth, she's already Musulekas Midomim. Therefore, it should follow that if she saw there, and then Huka Ubo, which means she entered into the pregnancy state at that the following day, things happened the day before. The Musulekas Midomim, the Ran has to explain, had to happen before she gave birth. Because you want to tell me what was the status of the Taharos that she touched Meis Leis? Her puppy says it's a legalism. We paskin that way because we paskin that way. Comes her puppy and says, no, there's a good reason for paskin that way. What's the reason? That Avel Kvedim Oleo, when was Avel Kvedim Oleo? It's relevant when yesterday when she touched the Taharos, we say she was Rosh Kovet Oleo already. Therefore, she was Meslekas Midomim. That's why I don't worry about whether she would become an ace the ace. The Rosh Kovet Oleo, my answers, it's like a pkido, as if she'd made a bedika. Right? It's a physiological bedika. Memele should follow. And if Roaso, then Hukarubo, then she's visibly pregnant, whatever that means. But that's a time when she's already Musulekas Midomim. But obviously, Musulekas Midomim happens the day before. That's why she's not Matame the Ace the Ace. People, are you following? Look at the timeline. When he peel a ruach, Rav Papa says that the reason why we didn't matama meis leis is because whatever that state was, it's irrelevant. We classified it as a pregnant state, even though she didn't give birth to anything that looked like a blood. He peel a ruach. Therefore, he says there's a physiological, a biological reason why she could not have had dam the day before, because Rosho Kovet Oleo. Well, if that is so, it means what? The Siluk Domim happens the day before birth. The day before of when she's Musulekas Midomim, as the Ran explains, the Vlad is Moshech that dam. Memele comes the next question, that if she was not pregnant, she was on Hukah Ubo. Our first shot case was she's Hukah Ubo. You say, nevertheless, the day before she was already Musulekas Midomim. Here, where she's not Hukah Ubo, she sees Dam, we're going to ask her. But comes the next day, she gives birth. I'm sorry, it comes the next day, she's visibly pregnant. How we define that, we'll talk about it in a minute. And if then she's visibly pregnant on Monday, then on Sunday she would Musulekas Midomim. Then would you therefore say, even though when she came to Bezdin and asked the Shaila, and Bezdin said, yes, this dam is the wrong color, etc., etc., and therefore you're a nida. And if you handle taharos in the last 24 hours, they're all tamei. So why are they tamei? It should follow that even though it was lo hukah ubo, but Rosh HaKaveda Oleo, and Rosh HaKaveda Oleo then would say she was Musulekas Midomim the day before. That's the boy minei Rav Yirmiyahu me Rav Zeira. That's how that explains it. If that's the case, Roaso v'yachaka hukah ubo bahu. Kivan debide de chazoi lo hukah ubo. Therefore, she's not from the Dalad Noshim. So we're metame meis leis. Therefore, metame o dilma kivan de somach lo chazoi. Lo metame. Since she saw the dam close to being hukah ubo, and that's where the Ran comes in. And we know that happens the day before, this Musalek has been done, and she was like, Bedamim. Amalei, Midi who time la ele mishim de rosh kovet olea, if er kreden olea. Bidnu de chazoi, en rosh kovet olea, ma ele kreden olea. What's the answer given? It's not true that it happened the day before. Simultaneously with what that period of time, what that incident of she's visibly pregnant, the time when hukarubro, and the time when the physiology of COVID, of Rosh COVID allow, they occur at the same time. The Ramban explains it nicely. It says, actually, it's almost word for word what the Rashba says also. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Histapek Mal Hashir Shalakoras Ubo. Him Akavon Elizman Shalosha Beverel Kvedinoler Machmas Akoras Ubo. O Dilma Akavon Elizman Hakoras Ubo Mamish. And what's the answer? Omar Rav Zeira, they both happen at the same time. There's no gap between the two. Omar Lei, when Rav Zeira answered, Midu Taima Ela Mishu De Rosh Kovid Olev, Rosh Kovid Olev, Bidna De Chazoy, Rosh Kovid Olev. Therefore, she was not pregnant. At that moment, she was not pregnant. I'm sorry, she was not a Muberes. Because the two occur simultaneously. So to remember it this way, the Shaila of Rabbi Yirmiyahu was, is Hukar Ubro physiological or anatomical? Is it anatomical thing? By the way, Hukar Ubro, that's what it means. She's visibly pregnant. I don't know how visibly pregnant a woman is to 3 months. And who's going to examine her when she's visibly pregnant? But I can tell you that indeed there comes a time when a woman is visibly pregnant, at least to herself. The belt on the dress doesn't fit as it did before. You have to put another notch, you have to move the belt another notch. She knows that. That's what hukar ubro is. That's an anatomical response to pregnancy. But there's also a physiological response, a kind of malaise that they're not feeling so well.
Morning.
Shaila was, based upon the first Shaila, that according to Rapopo, that the Rosh Kvedner Olea occurs before she gave birth to the Ruach. Here's the equation. Giving birth to Ruach and being visibly pregnant, hukar ubro, are the same thing. That's the assumption it makes. Therefore, Rosh Kovet Oleha must occur the day before. If a papa does want to accept the Sam as Rabbanon are not wanting to change their mind, the way the Tvor explains, then the reason why she's Tahova is because the day before she gave birth to this, whatever she gave birth to, this Ruach, she's already Mushalek as Midonim. That leads to the next question the Ran says. But that's the case, since hukar ubro is the definition of muberes, the halachic that is muberes is hukar ubro, then what if she saw dam the day before hukar ubro? Hukar rosa be'achakach hukar ubro. It should be the same thing. She should be Tahora because she's Muselekes Midaman the day before. But the Gemara didn't say that. Gemara said Isha Muberes is one of the Dalet Noshim. What's the definition of Muberes? Hukarubro. Which means the day before is not Hukarubro. She's Metame Meisles. Comes up there and says, that's how we pick up shot in this Gemara. Comes Rab Zeir and says they both occur simultaneously. It doesn't occur the day before. It's not true. What makes a musolek as midomim? Here, adding it just for hezba. What makes a musolek as midomim is the fact that the blood of nidus, right, can't come out, and therefore it stays inside. That makes her Rosh of Kovet Olea and Averea Kveden Olea. But it doesn't come out, that's the point. And if it came out the day before, it's not due to the Ibu, then it's regular Nida, and therefore she Matame Meisliyes. People, you with us? Try that just once more. Hukarubo is the legal dictionary definition of being pregnant. Being pregnant makes her a muberes, which puts her into the category of dalad noshim. Dalad noshim don't have to worry about tuma limifroa. Halcheskas tahara holds. Therefore, if Hukarubro, that moment, no more worrying about Tumal and Mephoa. Likewise, in the first case, if we define that Hipila Ruach doesn't take away her Muberet state from before, not like we define. We use the terms before Shabbos. There's a pregnancy, and there's a thing called muberes. She's pregnant when she's pregnant, as the Chasofa says. She's pregnant the day after she sleeps with her husband. She can be pregnant from that day. But hukarubo, right? That's what makes her into a muberes. Muberes is a halachic term, not an obstetrical term. Pregnancy is an obstetrical term. She could be pregnant, but she's not muberes until 3 months pass. That's what it says. Muberes is hukarubro. The kama hukarubro, exer sakosub, gimu chadoshim. What the Gemara is. Rapopo said. Probably, maybe just a din in Makor Bezni Yofer. But Rapopa gave a biological, an obstetrical definition. He said that when she gave birth to this, whatever she gave birth, and we consider her a muberes, even though she didn't give birth to a vlad, he says, therefore, a borel will kaved him aleo, and therefore when she saw dam, right, she was already a muberes. When was a borel kaved aleo? So the assumption is because there was a borel kaved aleo the day before, she was therefore, insofar as musulekes midomim, she's already musulekes midomim the day before. Comes Rabbi Yirmiyahu and asks the obvious question: if she's musulekes midomim the day before, then it should follow that if she sees dam, and then hukarubro, and then that 3 month period occurs yet tomorrow, then the day before she was also musulekes midom. And the Gemara answers, lavdaf, omar rabzera, not so. It's wrong to think that this physiological sign of Erem, you know, is different than the sign of Hukka Rubor. They both occur simultaneously. When Hukka Rubor, she's also a Vereo Kvedim Olehon. That point period in the development of the pregnancy to become a Muberes, right, that leads to a Vereo Kvedim Olehon. Okay. Which leaves us just to a little explanation. What the heck is this appeal of war business? That's why I gave you this interdepartmental Toro Mado, right, so that all the signs shouldn't lie. What this poor woman gave birth to, Ruach Koldovo Shene Shel Kayomo, right, refers to this trophoblastic gestational disease. It's called a molar, M-O-L-A-R, molar pregnancy. That's Hipila Ruach Odova Shene Shel Kayomo. It could lead to a devastating case of cancer. Neoplasms can follow a spontaneous abortion, an ectopic pregnancy, or a full-term pregnancy. But it's of trophoblastic origin. What does that mean? Remember, during pregnancy, a whole bunch of cells begin to grow crazy. In a matter of 9 months, they produce a whole mass called the baby. Well, some of these cells can break away and not stay where they belong in forming a baby, and they act like a cancer. It starts spreading through the lymphatic system to the whole body. That's the trophoblastic disease. Referred to a high dactyliform mole or molar pregnancy, in which the villi, which are the things that grow in the pancreas, in the placenta, connect to the hairs, those are the villi, called chorionic villi. Right? You could check one of the problems we have today in pre-implantation diagnosis, is that it's hard to do its diagnosis before the woman is 40 days pregnant. You can do that at 40 days. Usual way to do to know whether the baby is normal or not is you wait until you do an amniocentesis. Okay, and people have to know these things. What's amniocentesis?
Insert a needle into the amniotic sac and drain some of the
fluid. The sac, that's called the sphere. Sac is filled with fluid. At 16 weeks, 14 to 16 weeks, you can put a needle in, suck out some of that fluid, and in that fluid there'll be cells that belong to the baby, fetal cells. You can then analyze those fetal cells to see whether the baby is normal or not, and if it's not normal, you abort. We can't do that. We don't abort babies at 16 weeks. We can only abort, in such a case, find a heter for abortion before 40 days, before there's a tzuras hadlat. Trouble is, before 40 days, you can't do any amniotic amniocentesis, there's no fluid. What you can do is CVS, chorionic villi sampling. doctor puts in a hook and rips out a little piece of the connection between the placenta and the mother, and there the villi, right, consist of maternal cells and fetal cells. You can then analyze the fetal cells. Problem with that is that very few people, we would do that in halacha for people who've had previous births of children with serious genetic diseases, trisomy 18, things like that. But you got to get it done before 40 days. That's the difficulty. I have a fellow, Dr. Evans, here in New York, who claims he can do it within 40 days. And once or twice, he did it through some of my people that consult me. And unfortunately, the lab didn't get the results back. He could do it before 40 days.
The lab can't.
But the lab didn't send back the results before 40 days.
Because
then you can't be mata the abortion. So that's a very tight time there. I'm sure that if we wanted to, we could get it done in 40 days by first meeting with the lab people and letting them know this is a stat. Got to do it right away. You can't put it on the shelf. Wait your turn until they get all the other work done. Yeah. Nevertheless, here's the problem. Okay? And look at the second paragraph. This kind of mole is more common after pregnancies in the very young or older, right? Occurring in about 1 in 2,000 gestations. Not an unheard of thing. And the mole talks about hipilut ruach. It isn't something they imagined, especially since it occurs more often in the young. In the time of the Gemara, the girls married when they were very young. Right? Young is less than 17 years of age. 17 years of age, in time of Gemara, they were grandmothers already. Right?
Okay.
For some unknown reason, the incidence in Asiatic countries approaches 1 in 200. But 20%, 15-20%, right? Don't go away. Some are just disappear by themselves, meaning never coming out, but the body reabsorbs them. But 2 or 3% are followed by carcinoid carcinoma. That is 1 in 25,000 to 45,000 pregnancies. And carcinoid carcinoma is a vicious cancer. Very hard to treat. It's treated, Baruch Hashem, usually successfully. But then this woman has to go on birth control for a lengthy period to make sure there are no cells remaining from the old one, which will be stimulated by the hormones of pregnancy. Okay? That's to add some kind of a reality to the Shaila of the Gemara. It's not a theoretical question by them, but they feel a ruach. Now, what's ruach though? It says ruach or doro genital kayama. Doro genital is what I just explained to you. Massive cells, right? And she expels this and comes out, a lump of cells, right? Defined as a mole of pregnancy, right? It says, but he says, yeah, look at the third paragraph, symptoms, signs, and diagnosis. A high dietitiform mole is manifested in 10 to 16 weeks after conception, right? Vaginal bleeding, lack of fecal movement, absence of fecal sounds. Then go, passage of grape-like molar tissue suggests the diagnosis. That's the appeal of Ruach. Doro Chekayoma is a solid mass. The appeal of Ruach is all you get is grape-like little pieces, means there's nothing there. That's what the Gemara refers to as the appeal of Ruach. Okay? will. And the next question opens up this whole sugya that we're up to in the Shulchan Aruch. As I told you, what's the big shaila? It's been discussed here tomorrow morning in Yisrael Shem. Bestows the Raisa, bestows the Rabbanon. You see, impacts on the significance of the first Bedika. First Bedika after the 5-day period of Nidus. Poi Rineyahu Saba Me Rabbi Yochanan. Higia Eiz Vesta Bimei Yibur V'lo Bod Kamahu. We learned in the Shulchan Aruch that the Isha Sheyesh Lo Veset Kavua. You remember the halacha now? Ish is just a vesta kavua. He's supposed to make a bedika yom vesta. What if she did not make a bedika on the day of the vesta? So halacha l'maisa b'paskin, before she can sleep with her husband, she has to make a bedika. I she didn't make it on the day of the vesta, and now 2 days have passed, and now she reminds herself she did make a bedika in the yom vesta, but she hadn't seen any dam since then, anyway, assume she's pregnant. We don't ask her about it, but what we ask her to make a bedika anyway. But the bedika is not on the Yom Vesed anymore. But we say, why? As long as lo haso, then Reach Bizmano Bo, he didn't come, obviously, because every time the Yom Vesed comes, she sees them. Not she has to make a bedika to find them. The dam comes by itself. Therefore, today it didn't come, and she didn't make a bedika. We assume he's not coming. The guest is not arriving. That's the halacha. Here is the shaila before the halacha is nifsiko. Boy meneya husaba me Rabbi Yochanan. Higia eis vesta bimei ibura. I know she has to make a bedika yom veset. Now, she became pregnant. The low bodka bow. Look at Rashi. I'm sorry, what was? Kamaboyli, my question is, Aliba de Mandama bestows the Raisa. My. Kivan de bestows the Raisa, boy bidika, or Kivan de Damer Mosolokim lo boy bidika. But Bimei Yibur, right? The easiest way to remember this case is, what kind of vesed did she have? A vesed of a chodesh. Which means every time this day comes about, she has to worry maybe she'll become a nida. Why would it be such a shayla? The souls, you have to make a bdikah because you expect a bit, but they knew about pregnancy. The pregnancy was salekas midomim. So the Gemara explains, keep in the best toes, the Isa boy bdiko, or Dilma, keep in the Demea Musolokim, then that chiyuv, the Isa of making a bdiko of Shaz Vesta, is suspended. There's no easy way to understand the shayla. I just looked up again when I scribbled down some notes from Aran or Aifor. Nobody is happy with the shayla, because the shayla seems to disregard what we taught you before, that later that muberes and musolekas midomim, right? That was established already. It seems to be that if the stores are the reise, then a chiyuv bedikah would remain nevertheless. This the stores the reise, it's a kind of chazoka against chazoka. Chazoka, the isha is mosolekas midomim when she's pregnant, and as a chazoka, that orei b'zman obo, since you have a reise of a chiyuv bedikah, that chiyuv bedikah remains. Hard to learn pshat in the shayla, because the Gemara seemed to already make that assumption that muberas is musalekas midomim. So why would she have to make bedikos? Answer is obvious, but it's the shayla that's hard to answer. What was his hava mina? So the best I can offer you is that they did bestows adaraisa, that establishes a chazoka. What the Gemara calls the chazoka orer b'zman obo, that becomes therefore a chiv to break that chazoka and to use the principle that we've enunciated before. It's a milso de'efshe levruri mevarinan. I don't go with, well, there is a physiological basis why she shouldn't be roed dam. You can do something about it, make a bedikah. So if you hold the bestos of the reise, then the chiyuv b'dika remains. So ever is possible to affirm empirically, you don't go with the chazoker. What does the Gemara answer? Amalei tini tuha. We learned another case which will answer your question. Rameir Omer, im hoysa b'machbo v'giyah shazvesta v'lo botko tahora. Shecharodo mesalekes esadomin. If she was under a tension situation, hiding out from someone looking to kill them, hiding out in the cave, and it's the Yom HaVeset, we have a medical opinion that when the woman is under this great fear, distress, fear for her life, that she will not menstruate then. And sadly, we have a lot of evidence for that. During the Shoah, in the terrible concentration camps where they were killing the people there, most women did not menstruate. Give you that personal information from women who testified to that. I years back when I used to go around lecturing on Taras HaMishpocha, a woman had come over to me in Montreal after the class and said, offered, wasn't talking about that topic, offered that information. She was in Auschwitz, and she and a number of friends who survived that terrible period. Months went by, they never menstruated. It's time odiku charodo, but haleka charodo, b'giyah vestav lo botko, we would classify as tamei. That's the chilik where the vestor is the rice and vestor is the rabbonim. That's the practical chilik today. If you hold vestor is the rice, then if a woman didn't make a bedikah of the Yom Veset, you must assume there was a tipus dam kechardu, and she didn't find it, and she's a tamei. She has to count 5 days and 7 days. If you hold vestor is the rabbonim, you're a bad boy, a bad girl, you didn't make a bedikah. Didn't find any dam. So we make a bedikah 3 days later. Doesn't do any good 3 days later. But make a bedikah before you can sleep with your husband. So here too, he says, you tell me the reason why she's muteres lebaila, even though she was low bodko, because she was hiding in the cave. From which I infer, but she weren't hiding in the cave and didn't make a bedikah, she wouldn't be muteres lebaila. Is a haraya that was toros adaraisa. It's time or right the eco harodo because of that stress situation, the fear. Holeg harodo, we give a vest of low botka, we would declare her tamea. That's the test. Alma, we would hold the vestos of the raisa because the vestos of the rabbonim, we wouldn't ask her. If lo bodka. Remember, always along with the chumre for nida, we always have the concern of piriyah v'rivya. We always have the concern, right, that mevatelas mi piriyah v'rivya. Therefore, we wouldn't, if only besos the rabbonon would not have asad b'di'evet. It'd be only a din l'chatchila. But if it's a din d'oraisa, there's no lechatchila, nobody ever is by the Raisis. Therefore, we would have asked her. Only reason why not? Because there's a reason why she didn't see dam. Because of the charoda, because of the fear. Alma, right, even though Vestoros are the Raisa, nevertheless, Kivon Dika charoda, Domea Musolokin, below Boy Bidika, Therefore, here too, by a Muberes, she doesn't have to be Bodek Yom Vesta, even if you hold Vesta as the Raisa. Boys, are you okay on this? What this sugya opened up, though, is that question of as far as the Raisa, as far as the Rabbanon, and the question that we may deal with tomorrow morning. There, if lo botka, not b'shas vesta, but lo botka, b'shor shel lo rosa, lo rosa v'lo botka. What does that mean? 1, 2, 3, 4 days she saw dam. The fifth day she didn't see dam. When she saw dam, on her underclothes. Went to the bathroom. The fourth day she saw dam, and the fifth day she didn't see dam. But she never made a bedika. The question is, can she count the following day as day one without making a bedika? Because behind all this, behind the halachis, is the definition of nida. Definition of nida is still with hargosha. Hagosha means now a little broader definition. She's always aware when she begins a nida, but she's also aware when she's stops being a nida. The need to make a bedika to be bodik and find out that she's not a nida may not be necessary. We'll see. That'll depend on the sugya v'estos raisa v'estos rabbana. Okay, let's see, we go a little bit further. Tana Rabbanan. We just got through really asking you why or what is the mean that Muberes is Musulekas Midamin. So we had a number of issues that had to be handled. Number one, is she muberes if she doesn't give birth? Because that retroactively proves she was never muberes, because she hipila ruach or double shei shel kayoma. The second question is, what in muberes is mesalekes midomim? Is it a time interval, 3 months, huka rubro, or is it a physiological sign of pregnancy known as a boreo kvedin oleo? I'm summing up for you. Now we have a same question by Minika, right? Among the Dalet Noshim that we don't worry about tumul mefoa, the other one is Minika, a nursing mother. Tana Rabbanan. Meiniko shemes beno betoch esem rabba chodesh. We said that Meiniko is for chav dalet chodesh, 24 months. She's classified as a Meiniko. If, however, mes beno toch esem rabba chodesh, she's not physically a Meiniko. Unfortunately, her child died. Again, Muberes may not require to prove it by having a blood. And Meinika may not have to prove it by immersion. But there's a period of time of Meinika, like a period of time of Muvelis, that classifies her. And that's some of the middle of the Omen, Tona Rabbana. Lefikach em hoysa meinikosa v'oleches arba ochom eshonim daya shata. On the other hand, if it's the active nursing that defines her as a meinika, and therefore if the baby dies and she's not actively nursing, she's no longer a meinika, it then should follow logically, if she is a meinika more than 24 months, she's still a meinika, and she's mesulekes midamim. So if she's nursing for 4 or 5 years, not impossible, perfectly possible for a woman, for some women anyway, to nurse for 4 or 5 years if they keep on nursing. The nursemaids who hire themselves out to nurse other people's children would keep on nursing for many years. And like a cow, as long as you keep on milking the cow, it milks. I tell you my personal experience. First time I was traveling to have a good friend, Herman Wolk, a well-known author, had a home in Virgin Islands. And for sure we had a whole bunch of children. We hardly could take vacation, but always for 1 week in winter time, my parents, Herman Wolk, would take over the children. And we went away with my wife, Aleha Cholom, to Herman Wolk in the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas. There. In those days, you had to stop at Puerto Rico and take a small plane to the Virgin Islands. Nowadays, Virgin Islands is a big tourist resort, tourist area. The planes land, and they fix the airport, the planes land in Virgin Islands. But we stopped in Puerto Rico, which was not Puerto Rico. We never saw Puerto Rico either. So we made arrangements there to rent a car and you'll see them, go to the countryside. Told us they're a beautiful countryside, so there was a gap of 4 hours between the planes when the small plane would go to the Virgin Islands. We took a ride there. Also, we were hungry already. We figured we'd go see if we can find a supermarket, something. We passed by and there's like a farmer's market, a little place. There's a lady sitting there selling fruit, selling papayas, selling papaya. I figured, oh, good, we're going to stop and ask to buy a papaya. Yeah. These are mumchen, a ripe one there, so we can, yeah, and I always carry a little knife, no problem. While we're, a few minutes, a little boy comes running over, jumps on this lady's lap, and starts unbuttoning her blouse. Yeah. And before you know it, he's lying there nursing, finishes nursing, runs away. Baby was surely 2 years old, had to be 2 years old. Still nursing the baby. Baby gets thirsty, well, instead of going to Coca-Cola machines. much healthier. So if it follows automatically, if you tell me it's not a period when she's Muslekas Midomin, but it's a physiological act of nursing, then it should follow that if she keeps on nursing, she's always Muslekas Midomin. Therefore, it follows, if Hoysu Meinikosu Olechas Arba Chomishonim Daya Shata Divi Rameir. Rabbi Yehudi, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, not so. And this is how we paskin. Dayon Shatan Kol Esam Arba Chodesh. Even if, God forbid, the baby dies, or she gives the baby over to a meinika, to a nursemaid, So she stops nursing for 24 hours, for 24 days, she, 24 years, she's Mosolekes Midomim. Lefikach, therefore it follows, Im Hoysa Menikoso Alba Bechome Shonim, Metama Meis Leis, Mepkida Lepkida. Then it follows, it's a 24-hour period, 24-month period that she's Mosolekes Midomim. Irrelevant of whether she's nursing or not nursing. I think I mentioned to you, nowadays, women who nurse for more than 9 months usually go back to their regular cycle of nidus. They keep on nursing for a year, some for 2 years, and go up to the regular cycles. It's possible for a woman to nurse and menstruate, it's a stress on the body, Baruch Hashem can take it, if there is good nutrition. And all the studies have shown that when you, this famous Uganda study, I think I might have mentioned to you, of a tribe that was very successful in managing in farming, in animal husbandry, they decided that the area was getting crowded, the tribe had grown, they would break up, they would divide into two sections. One went higher ground and took over the animal husbandry, sheep and goat raising, and the others remained farmers. And they did a study on it, published in Science in the late 1990s, showed an unbelievable thing for halacha, that those who remained farmers remained successful as far as food supply, and those who went into animal husbandry, not so successful, and they were always on a limited food supply. The women in the limited food supply didn't start menstruating until after 24 months. And the women with the plentiful food supply began to menstruate after 9-10 months. There was no one set up the experiment. The experiment that was set up by the tribe themselves. And the study revealed that indeed it's a nutritional factor. Here, however, the Shulchan Aruch records this opinion that 24 months, most likely because it's not too often in the history of our people that food is plentiful, not to worry about nutrition. Therefore, the idea that a 24-month period, she's Mosolekes Midomim, that's how it's recorded in Halacha. And Gemara now gives a little bit of explanation, see if it catch it. It's the next line. Shitim Saloma Ledivi Rameir Dam Nechkar Benasa Cholov. How you can explain it? It's the blood of Nidus is now Nechkar, right? More metamorphoses to become milk. Ledivi Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon. No, it's Eberer Misparkin. It's due to the act of giving birth. The stress of giving birth does something to the insides, Eberer Misparkin. Vein nafsha chozeres, it doesn't return back to normalcy on Esrim Rabba Chodesh. Okay, we'll stop here.
My mother has mentioned that she never menstruated between my birth and the birth of my younger sister.
I'm sorry?
My mother never menstruates between my birth and the birth of